This is the concluding part of a message by David E. Ball entitled, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage.
I speak this by permission, not of commandment. Now that's important later on. For I would that all men were as I myself, even as I myself. But every man hath this proper gift of God, one after this manner and the other after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I, the unmarried now. Don't get married. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. Now here's twice a perfect will and a permissive will. Twice, this is what you ought to do, but you're allowed to do that. In verse 1 and verse 2 and in verse 8 and verse 9. I'll stop and give you time to look at it now. Am I telling the truth now? Huh? Come on now. There's a perfect will and a permissive will in getting married. All right. Are you ready for the hard one then? There's a perfect will and permissive will in getting married. Now, the next verse says the perfect will and permissive will in getting divorced. And to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. That means do not get a divorce. That's the perfect will. And it's to Christians, not unsaved people. That's important. But, and if the Christian woman depart, did you hear what that said? If she gets a divorce, the Christian woman, there's your permissive will. Let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And then the next, let not the husband put away his wife, puts him in the same boat as her. Okay? Now here's a perfect will and a permissive will. A friend of mine is a Baptist minister, and he taught divorce among Christians is absolutely out. You cannot ever, under any circumstance, have a divorce if you're a Christian. But that says you can, verse 11. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. But he said you cannot, this woman, pregnant, beat, blood running down her mouth, came to the pastor. I can't live with that man any longer. Drunken, he beat her. Stair-step kids, you know what I mean. One every year. Five or six of them, she's pregnant then, blood running out of her mouth, swollen eye. And she said, I can't live with a man any longer. I just can't live with this man any longer. The minister said, but you must. Who knows? Maybe your living with him will finally bring him to Christ. We'll get to that scripture in a minute. But I can't put up with the mental torment and the physical agony of living with this man any longer. And that fundamental pastor said, but you have to, you must. Now, he didn't know about verse 11. He knew about some of these other verses we're coming to. He said, you've got to live with this man. You cannot be divorced. She left, 2:00 in the morning. They called the pastor to come over to the house and officiate and help clean up the mess she'd blown her head off with a shotgun. Because, as far as she was concerned, God demanded that she stay in an unlivable situation. But God did not demand that. The commandments and traditions of men demanded that she stay in this unlivable situation. 11 says, but and if she depart, let her depart. Let her remain unmarried. Now there's a chance for reconciliation. But the perfect will is in 10, don't depart. But if the circumstance and an unlivable situation. So this pastor, after he had to go through the horror of the problem there, said, this can't be God. This can't really be God that we would put people under such condemnation and such agony of their lives that they jump off tall buildings and blow their heads off and, you know, this can't be God. I'll go back to 10 now. And to the unmarried, to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Now this is the perfect will, and you're a whole lot better off after you're married, see, to stay married. But, and if she depart, now there's where the door's ajar. He opens the door. Let her remain unmarried and be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believe not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. But I'm going to stop here and say, all these rules are for believers. It's absolutely unfair to expect an unbeliever to keep any Bible rule. I'm going to say that again 2 or 3 times. It's not right. They have no power. They have no spirit. You're finding it hard to keep them with the Holy Spirit. And you've got the Holy Spirit working in your life and you can't keep them all. Right. How do you think an unbeliever can keep these rules? It's not right. It's not even right to pass moral rules. Now, I'm going to get real strict on this. For the legislature to pass moral rules based on the Bible. Now, I know I got some people mad now. It's not fair for the legislature to pass moral rules based on their interpretation or based on the Bible or based on their interpretation if it says right out and they quote from the Bible when they pass it. It's not fair because they're expecting normal society to keep rules written for Christians who have been saved in spirit, are being saved in soul, and will be saved in body. You see what I'm driving at? So here in Pennsylvania, where we get a legislature, which is, or will be shortly, I don't know whether it is now or will be, mainly Democratic and Catholic, and I'm not trying to be nasty with the Catholics, but here's the problem, that you find laws passed based on the Catholic understandings and traditions, right? Now, you Protestants don't like that, do you? Huh? You don't think that's fair, do you? To have to keep rules based on Catholicism. All right? In New Hampshire, they have laws against contraceptives. Why? Because the Pope says, so they have a moral law based on that. And it's a law. It's a state law. And anybody found guilty is subject to prison and okay, Maine. Okay, you see what I'm driving at now, and I'm not trying to argue whether any particular law is right or wrong. It's just not fair to expect people to keep moral laws if they're not saved. They don't have the power to do it. Well, I got half of you with me at least. Half of you agree that they can't do it. And the other, why, you go ahead and pass your laws. And try to make them. Men can't do it. The answer to the community's moral needs is Jesus Christ, not laws. The answer is a change of the inner man. Not more legislation and police and vice squads. That doesn't cut gambling. Come on now. Sorry about that, but that's just the way it is. The woman which hath a husband that believe not. Now it's the woman who's under this law, not the husband, in verse 13. And if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. It's the woman that's the law is over, not the man. Do you see what I'm driving at? Always it's the laws are for the believer. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they're holy. But if the unbelieving depart, hang on to them, don't give them a divorce, make life hell on earth. Is that what it says? But you know that the church has taught what I just said. Don't let them depart. Don't give them a divorce. Don't let them go. But this says, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. And the commandment and tradition of men is, and I've known within my own personal experience, many of my friends are under condemnation because their mate has departed and they feel that they shouldn't let them depart. So they won't let them, and they make all kinds of legal situations and entanglements to keep them from getting a divorce. This says let them go. Now our commandments and traditions say don't let them go. Don't let them go no matter what happens, don't let them go. Fight it to the last tooth and nail. But this says let them go. Why? A brother or sister is what?
Not under bondage.
And we say they are too. We say if a man leaves his wife, that woman is bound to the wife for as long as he lives. Isn't that what we just read over in the other part of the Bible? That's what we read when Jesus was referring to Old Testament law. He said, the law says, and every time we get to it, it'll be the law, Old Testament Moses saying it. But here we find New Testament. A brother or sister is what?
Not
under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. Not wrath. Not court arguments. Not lawyers. Not $5,000 later. But peace. This says, let them go. You're not under bondage. You're not bound. You're free from that one. We say you're bound because we tie Moses with Jesus and take Moses' law and Jesus' law. Did Jesus tell a woman, go find your first husband, the one that had five? Huh? What did he say? Go and sin no more. Don't get in another mess like this one. But the church says, at least my church, go find the first one you were with. And that's your husband. The others were adulterers, but your first one, that, you know, he's the husband because he happened to be number one. And you live with him now, from now on. That's our logic that we taught. Hey, listen, if you thought I was in trouble with the rapture thing, wait till this is. Boy. This teaching is so strong against commandments and traditions. The commandments and traditions of men. Okay. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage. We say they are, but they're not in such cases. But God has called us to peace. I'm going to hurry now. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? This is the verse that's read if they want to keep you together. But if the situation is that they've departed, let them go. Don't force them. Don't you make an argument. Men, love your wives with agape love. Women, love your husbands with phileo love. You'll keep them. As soon as it stops or a triangle starts, let them go. You're not under bondage. But as God has distributed every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. What this means is, if you're married when you're saved, stay married. As God has called everyone, so let him walk. If you're divorced when you're saved, stay divorced. If you're a slave when you're saved, stay a slave. If you're a free man when you're saved, don't become a slave. If you're, whatever state you're in, stay that way after you're called. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. I never did figure out how that works. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Did you hear what I'm saying? And it's for this that Paul gets in that terrible mess over in Acts chapter 20 later on, when he's accused of this very thing, telling people they don't have to be circumcised. And here he's saying you don't have to be. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. And let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called, and when do we see this word called, it really means saved here, in the Lord, being a servant, he's the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he that's called being free, he's Christ's servant. And most of us know that we're servants. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called or saved, therein abide with God. Don't change it. Are you divorced? Are you married? Are you single? Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, I say, or necessity is really what distress means, present necessity. It's good for a man so to be chaste, virgin. Are you bound to a wife? Bound means married or tied. I looked it up. Bound in verse 27. Seek not to be loose. Bound means deo, D-E-O. It's bind 37 times and tied once. It means are you bound, tied to a woman? Seek not to be loosed. Now the word loosed here doesn't mean seek not her death, like one guy said. But loosed means L-U-O or L-U-S-I-S means break, unloose, destroy, or dissolve, or break off, or put off. And that means divorce. The word loosed here means divorce. There's absolutely no question in the matter. It means divorce. Are you bound to a wife? It means are you married to a wife? Are you tied? Don't try to get untied. Hear me. Never once have I ever said that it's all right to get divorced, have I? All I said was the worst you can accuse me of is that Jesus left the door ajar and Paul left the door ajar on several occasions. He said, don't get divorced, but he left it ajar. He has a perfect will and a permissive will. And if the circumstance is bad enough, you leave that perfect will and can enter the permissive will. Okay. Are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loose from a wife? I'm going to say that again. Are you divorced from a wife? Now, that's exactly what it means. It's the same root, a word. Are you divorced from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. That's the most conclusive verse that you ever read. Yeah. It says without, beyond the least shadow of a doubt, that remarriage is not a sin. Now, in the church and in tradition, and I would venture to say that if we total the number of people we knew personally who are under condemnation for this, we could give at least 100 names out of this crowd of people that you know, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and people, relatives and people at work, who are under condemnation because they're remarried. I'll read it again. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Are you loose from a wife? Don't get remarried. And of course, we'll come to that as to why in a minute. I mean, let's face it, you're better off without getting remarried. But if you do get remarried, it's not sin. Now that society would condemn you, bind you, and make you feel that you've been living in sin and adultery for 40 years. I've known people who thought that. I've known people who thought that because they were under the thumb of the commandments and traditions of men. The purpose of this lesson is to release you in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Hey, wait a minute now. Not so you can get a divorce. I'm not trying to make it easy for anybody here to get a divorce. I want it just as hard as it ever was. You're not supposed to leave. But if you get remarried, it's not sin. Now, is that what it says, or are we making these things up? Now, I know this is awful hard, especially on the Mennonites, isn't it? But did you read it? Is that what it says now? You haven't sinned. So that one you know and you're thinking about, if he's under the blood of Jesus Christ, then the blood covers what? All past sin. The blood covers all past sin. This is not a sin that's the unforgivable sin, the unpardonable sin that man has to keep. With society it is now. I mean, society won't go with this, but I'm talking about mature Christians now. You'll be able to love people whose former mates are still alive. And you know what? I know in a particular church where finally the former mate died and then everything was all right. Then everything was all right. Can you imagine the logic of a thing like that? Here they are, a man and a woman, married, going to the church. They couldn't have anything to do in the church, you know, anything in the realm of teaching Sunday school and all that. And the only hope that they had was that they would die. That was their only hope, that their former mate would die. Then they could be accepted socially in the church. Now, what kind of a mess is that we get ourselves into? And that's the traditions and commandments of men. And you know of hundreds, I mean, if we put this together, hundreds of people who are living under condemnation right now, and I want to release you in the freedom of Jesus. If I don't care what sin you've committed. How many times have I said that? Have you heard me say that lots of times?
Yep.
The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from what?
All
sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That means you're under the blood. Now walk in the Spirit and don't sin anymore. Now straighten up. I mean, let's face it. Now, you've had five husbands. Neither do I what? Condemn thee. Now straighten up and go and sin no more. Because now you're under the blood. Friends, for those of you who have people that are bound by the commandments and traditions of the church and men, society, they need to know that they're not living in sin every day. They need to know that. It's not fair to bind people and bind their lives and their future lives forever with a church doctrine and a church commandment and a church tradition. Now, I recognize that we're standing against some very hard, ingrained tradition when we stand against that one. It is very clear that the Bible says, don't get divorced. But if you do, their door is ajar. It's not slammed shut. There's a way out so that you don't burn. There's a way out so that you don't commit sin. Of course, by now it has to be in the Lord. You understand that? You have to marry in the Lord. So then, if you're wondering about marriage and divorce, please read this section like it says, not like you think it says. Because in God there's no condemnation if you're under the blood of Jesus Christ and there is no sin. Now, go and sin no more. You're not under condemnation for the past, whatever's under the blood. If it didn't work, this would be the unpardonable sin. According to church tradition, it is. According to commandments, tradition, commandments of men, this is the unpardonable sin. Remarriage. But this says in verse 28, thou hast not sinned, so you're going to have to look for another unpardonable sin. Yeah.
Would that compare it to the children of Israel having
Cain? Yeah. Same thing. So you've rejected me. Sure. Right. That's exactly what he said. How many times did he say this? That you'll suffer. You'll suffer in the flesh. But of course, you'll burn if you don't. So, you're in the body. Now watch this. Now I've connected some things for our spirit, soul, and body. Bodies need to mate. Spirits need to mate. Souls need to mate. Spirits mate with God. He is a spirit. Souls mate on a communication basis with whoever they can. And they mate across sex lines and within sex lines. You say he's a buddy. He's a real close buddy of mine. What do you mean? Your souls think the same. They're mated. They think always the same way. Yeah, David and John. Souls were knit together. They were mated. Knit. Does that sound like knit, tied, mated? Mated together in soul. That's what happens in present-day society, and that forms the triangle. From then on, the troubles come. Now, to be forewarned is forearmed. Watch out in your own relationships that as you find yourself mating in soul realms, you'll be able to identify that this is actually happening. And someone says, what, do you think that would happen in a group like this? I sure do. I sure do. It could easily happen in a group like this, where mating could occur in the soul realm quite innocently and eventually end up in the body realm. Of course, then you've got your triangle and you've got your divorce. So let your spirits mate with God. That's in worship and praise. Let your soul mate with your spouse. Now, you can't stop your mating at the office or the factory, wherever you work, but be on guard against it and recognize what's happening. The point is to mate with God. That's the most important point. Mate with God in the spirit. The next thing, mate with your natural mate in body and soul as much as possible. You can find yourself drifting apart. I don't want to ask that question, but I think most people are aware of the fact that sometimes in married life people drift apart. And why do they drift apart? Because they're not mated in soul. They're not thinking the same. He doesn't communicate with her. He doesn't talk. They don't talk the same language about any common interest. So they drift apart, right?
Yeah.
All right. Mate in the soul realm with your natural mate, and you'll have a happy married life. If you find yourself starting to mate with someone else, recognize the symptoms and do something about it. Fair enough? Next thing, don't hold people in condemnation who have gone through marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You have to forgive or don't pray again. Without forgiveness, don't ever pray. Matthew 6, Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and Mark 11 teach that you've got to have forgiveness, or why bother to pray?
Be sure to send for your free catalog of Bible teaching tapes. Send your name and address with zip code to the David E. Ball Bible School, 102 Park Terrace, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17111.